Good day. We're going to be going to Isaiah 48, as well as 2 John, Romans chapter 7, and we're going to go to many places today, so I don't know exactly all the places we're going to go to, but Isaiah 48, here on this feast day of Yahweh. It's a festival. Every day actually should be Thanksgiving Day to Yahweh HaMashiach, to the Messiah. Praise His name. So, Isaiah 48:17, thus saith Yahweh, thy Redeemer, the separated one of Israel. And I'm reading from the King James Version. They use the word holy here. And as we see from C.J. Coster, come out of her, my people, the word holy is corrupted. And so we change that. We look in the concordance and we find out a more proper word, such as separated or pure. But for those who have not come into that study yet, well, Your understanding of the word holy, of course, is what we understand. We all understand the same way. But actually, if you go back to the origin of these 50 corrupted words, such as holy and sanctified and L-O-R-D and G-O-D, then you find out the original word was not what it should have been. It wasn't a good thing at all. The word Easter, above all, E-A-S-T-E-R, the celebration, the Christian celebration of Easter, look that up. That's a Babylonian sex god. But that's kind of way off the subject. We are going to hearken unto the commandments of Yahweh today. That's what I like to stress. I like to stress our, at the end of the day, how will our life change as a result of abiding in Yahweh's word and his sharp sword, the sharp sword out of his mouth? Will we respond to his loving bidding, wooing us to come unto his throne and to bow down and praise him? Oh, are we going to bow down and praise some man? No, we're going to praise a man. We're going to praise the King of Kings, the one of all, the Ancient of Days, the Patriarch, the Commander-in-Chief. We praise him today. So that was a brief introduction there, but just still using the King James Version and changing a few of the words that were corrupted, such as Easter. So Isaiah 48:17, thus saith Yahweh, and it says L-O-R-D here, but we understand Lordos is not a good word at all, not a good connotation. Thus saith Yahweh, thy Redeemer, the separated one of Israel. I am Yahweh, thy mighty one. So I'm substituting for God there. I'm substituting mighty one. Or you could substitute any good attribute of our Commander-in-Chief, Yahweh the Father, Yahweh the Son. So I am Yahweh, thy mighty one, which teacheth thee to profit, which leads thee by the way that thou shouldest go. Oh, that thou hadst hearkened to my commandments. Then had thy peace been as a river. We all want shalom. So if we hearken to his commandments, then there had been shalom as a river, and thy righteousness as the waves of the sea. Thy seed also had been as the sand, and the offspring of thy bowels like the gravel thereof. His name shall not have been cut off nor destroyed from before me. Verse 21, and they thirsted not when he led them through the deserts. They didn't thirst. No, they weren't. Didn't have parched throats. They thirsted not. He caused the waters to flow out of the rock for them. He clave the rock also, and the waters gushed out. There is no peace, there is no shalom, saith Yahweh, unto the wicked. John chapter verse 9, whoever departs from and does not remain in the teaching of Mashiach, Yahusha, whoever departs from and does not remain in the teaching of the Messiah, Yahusha, does not have Yahweh. He who remains in the teachings of Moshiach, Yahusha, has both the Father and the Son. If anyone comes to you and does not bring this teaching, do not receive him, into your house, and do not rejoice at his presence. For he who rejoices at his presence is a participant in the evil work. Having many things to write to you, I write not with paper and ink, but rather hope to come to you and to speak face to face with you, so that our joy may be full. The children of your sister, who is also chosen of Yahweh, greet you, Hallel. Now I've changed that Amin, which is a suspicious word there, corrupted word possibly, and it's been proven by at least 100 references, so I changed that to Hallel, which means praise, or Hallel Yahweh. As people say Hallelujah, we say Hallel Yahweh, which is closer yet. So, and then 3 John chapter he's got 1 verse 1. Well, I guess that's right. There is one chapter here. in 3 John, written in the year 90 CE. The eldest to the dearly beloved Gaius, whom I love in the truth. Beloved, I desire above all things that you may prosper and be in health, even as your soul prospers, for I rejoice greatly when the brothers came and testified of the truth that is in you. They testify of just all kinds of different doctrines, a potpourri of different faiths and doctrines and traditions? No, of the truth. What truth? Well, you know what that is. Okay, that's the scripture. That's the word of Yahweh. That is in you, even as you walk in the truth. I have no greater joy than to hear that my children walk in what? Love? No, in truth. Yes, they have love when they walk in truth. Beloved, it is a faithful thing you are doing in all your efforts for these brothers and sisters, though they are strangers to you, who have testified of your love before the assembly of called out ones. You will do well to send them forward on their goodly journey, because for his name's sake they went out taking nothing from the foreigners. We therefore should welcome them so that we might become fellow laborers with them in the truth. I wrote to the community of called out ones, but Diotrephes, who loves to have the preeminence among them, does not accept us. Therefore, if I come, I'll remember his actions committed against us. And then skipping now, verse 11, beloved, do not follow that which is evil, but that which is good. He who does good is of Yahweh, but he who does evil has not seen Yahweh. Demetrius is well spoken of by all men and by the truth itself. And to this we also testify, and you know that our testimony is true. I have many things to write, but I will not write to you with pen and ink. But I trust that I will see you soon, and we speak face to face. Shalom be to you. Our friends here send their greetings. Greet our friends there by name. Also in the book of John, 1 John that is, chapter 2, verse 3. Hereby we do know that we know him if we keep his commandments. He who says, I know him, and does not obey his commandments, is a liar, and the truth is not in him. But whoever obeys his word, in him truly is the love of Yahweh perfected, and by this we know we that are in him. And by this we know we that we are in him. Whoever claims to remain in him must walk even as he walked. We must walk as Messiah walked. So what does it look like? It looks like the same description and the same M.O., modus operandi, that the Messiah has, and that he is, that he walks in the truth. He does not go against his own commandments. Someone once said, well, he made his commandments. He can break them. He's the only one who can. Well, then he denies his own definition of what sin is and what love is if he does that. So that's all messed up. That's silly. That's crazy to think that the Messiah himself would disobey his father's commandments and break them. Is he Lord of all of your life? Well, the word L-O-R-D we don't use. Is he master of all? If he's not master of our whole life, our love life, our recreation life, our kitchen life, our recreation, our time in the assembly, of our bedroom, of our private lives, then he's not master at all. If we break one of his commandments, then we have broken them all, says there in the book of James, probably in chapter 2. Whoever obeys his word, in him truly is the love of Yahweh perfected, and by this we know we that we are in him. Whoever claims to remain in him must walk even as he walked. Brothers of the, and he put a different word here, brothers of the tribes, I write no new commandment to you, but an old commandment which you had from the beginning. The old commandment is the word which you have heard from the beginning. Again, a new commandment I write to you, which thing is true in him and in you, because the darkness is past and the true light is now shining. And this is in 1 John 2:9. He who claims to be in the light but hates his brother is in darkness even until now. He who loves his brother remains in the light, and there is no opportunity for him to be trapped into violating Torah. And then he puts in parenthesis, there's no opportunity for him to be trapped into violating Torah or into sinning. But he who hates his brother is in darkness and walks in darkness and does not know where he is going, because that darkness has blinded his eyes. I write to you, little children, because your Torah violations, or your sins, in parenthesis, your Torah violations are forgiven you for his name's sake. I write to you, fathers, because you have known him who is from the beginning. I will write to you, young men, because you have overcome the wicked one. I write to you, little children, because you have known the Father. I have written to you, fathers, because you have known him that is from the beginning. And because you are strong and the word of Yahweh abides in you, and you have overcome the wicked one. Do not love the world or the things that are in the world. If any man loves the world, the love of the Father is not in him. So let me make another parenthetical statement here, in parenthesis, that when we go to the assembly here, when we listen to, when we read Yahweh's word and study, and we get together with brothers and we fellowship and we hear good preaching, then we don't just go out and act like the world. We don't go out and turn on the radio and hear the culture of the world so much. I mean, there's good classical music and there's bad classical. There's even some good light rock from the 1950s, but there's also a lot more worse rock and bad evil rock, even back in the 1950s, 40s, 50s, 60s, whenever, and to the present time. Young man, because you are strong, the word of Yahweh abides in you. You have overcome the wicked one. Do not love the world or the things that are in the world. Verse 16, skipping to 16, for all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life is not of the Father, but is of the world. And the world with its lust is passing away, but he who does the will of Yahweh shall remain forever. Little children, it is the latter time, and as you have heard that the false Messiah shall come, even now these are many false messiahs, even now there are many false messiahs, whereby we know that it is the latter time. Reading verse 19, and here from the Hezekiah translation with the Hebrew idioms, and someday you'll be able to actually obtain this book, this translation, and we'll try to pass that on to you, how you can do it. It'll be on the Jews for Yeshua website. That's Hezekiah's site there. He and I don't agree on the names on the Shua, and in a couple of places he uses the G-O-D. And he's trying to reach those who do and don't understand why you shouldn't. But anyway, I don't need to explain everything to you. I don't need to explain everything in the world to you. And they went out from us, but they were not of us. But if they had been of us, they would no doubt have continued with us, but they went out, that it may be revealed that they were not at all of us. But you have an anointing from the Pure One, and you receive all things. You perceive all things. I have not written to you because of not knowing the truth, but because you do know it, and know that no lie is of the truth. That's 1 John 2:21. Who is a liar but he who denies that Yahusha is the Mashiach, the Messiah? Whoever denies the Father and the Son is of the false Messiah. So there's two places now we have read here where the Messiah is in the Father, and that we must submit to the Son as well as to the Father. Now there's only one, it tells us in Deuteronomy chapter 6, Messiah, the Father are one. So we've read in 2 John, and then we've read in 1 John 2:22, whoever denies the Father and the Son is of the false Messiah. Whoever denies the Son, the same does not have the Father, but he who acknowledges the Son also has the Father. If you acknowledge the Son, if you respect him, if you obey him, if you love him, if you submit to the Son, Yahusha, as our Father, he is our Father. It says in Isaiah 9:6, let that therefore which you have heard from the beginning remain in you. For if that which you have heard from the beginning remains in you, then you also shall continue in the Son and in the Father. And this is the promise that he has promised us, even eternal life. These things have I written to you concerning they who seduce you. But the anointing which you have received of him remains in you, and you do not need any man to teach you. But as that same anointing teaches you of all things, and is truth, and is no lie, and even it, as it has taught you, you shall remain in him. And now, little children, remain in him, so that when he shall appear, we may have confidence when he returns and not be ashamed in his presence. If you know that he is righteous, so speaking here of the Son, in 2:29, if you know that he is righteous, you know that everyone who does righteousness is born of him. I am going to take a quick break, but I'll be right back here at about 15 minutes or so into the broadcast, into the podcast, actually.
Too late to cry, too late for asking favor. the path to be trod. Many were the moments the Spirit had come. It's too late for changing your mind. Too late for changing your mind.
Yes, that was Eddie Reese and Too Late to Change Your Mind. Paul thought it might be too late for some people to change their mind in Romans chapter 1. Likewise, the men, leaving the natural use of the woman, burned in their lust one another, men with men, and you know the rest of the story there. Also says in Romans 1:30 that there will be unrighteous, fornication, wickedness, covetousness, maliciousness, full of envy, murder, debate. Now, some debate is okay. It doesn't mean all debate is bad. And we know that. Deceit, malignity, whisperers, backbiters, haters of Yah, despiteful, proud, boasters, inventors of evil things. Now, there's a lot of good inventions. Some things are meant for good and for evil. Some inventions are. Disobedient to parents. We see a lot of commandment breaking there. A lot of breaking that commandment. Without understanding, covenant breakers, without natural affection, implacable, unmerciful. Then in Romans chapter 2 today, we'll be going to the second chapter of Romans and verse 2. But we are sure that the judgment of Yahweh is according to truth against them which commit such things. So it's not just according to anyone's interpretation of what the Spirit is telling them. This Spirit, that Spirit, another Spirit, it's all the same, right? No, it's not all the same. No, we have to go by the one standard, by the truth. And you knew that, but I was just confirming it, just encouraging you. In Romans chapter 2, verse 7, and we may go through the whole chapter here. To them who by patient continuance in well-doing, is that what you're doing? Yes, you are right now. And I as well, I'm doing well-doing. Seek for kavod, that's a Hebrew word, kavod there, or esteem, and honor and immortality, eternal life. But unto them that are contentious and do not obey the truth, but obey unrighteousness, for them indignation and wrath. Tribulation and anguish upon every soul of man that does evil, first of the Jew and also, secondly, of the Gentile. But esteem or splendor, so esteem, honor, and peace to every man that works good, to the Jew first and also to the Gentile, for there is no respect of persons with Yahweh. In other words, to the Jew or to the Gentile. For as many as have sinned without the law shall also perish without the law, and as many as have sinned in the law shall be judged by the law. For not the hearers of the law are just before Yahweh, but the doers of the law shall be justified. Romans 2:12, for as many as have sinned without the law shall also perish without the law. And as many as have sinned in the law shall be judged by the law. For the hearers of the law are not just before Yahweh, but the doers of the law shall be justified. It doesn't mean they'll be saved. It's called justified or made right. So once again, it says, for not the hearers of the law are just before Yahweh, but the doers of the law shall be justified. For when the Gentiles, which have not the law, do by nature the things contained in the law, these having not the law in their minds are a law unto themselves. Verse 15, which show the work of the law written in their hearts, their conscience also bearing witness in their thoughts, the mean while accusing or else excusing one another. So, you know, we don't, and the Gentiles do not have a right to excuse one another of sin. Verse 16, in the day when Yahweh shall judge the secrets of men by Yahusha, according to my gospel. Behold, thou art called a Jew, and restest in the law. So you rest in the law, and you make the boast of Yahweh, and knowest his will. You know his will. You got to take out that word knowest there and put know, and you know his will, and approve the things that are more excellent, being instructed out of the Torah, and art confident. You are confident that thou thyself art a guide of the blind, a light of them which are in darkness. You are an instructor of the foolish, a teacher of babies, which has the form of knowledge and of truth in the law. Thou therefore which teach another, do you teach not thyself? Thou that preach to a man should not steal, do you steal? Thou that sayest a man should not commit adultery, do you commit adultery? Does that man commit adultery? Thou that abhorrest idols, does he commit sacrilege? Thou that makest thy boast of the law, through breaking the law, dishonorest Yahweh? So if you boast of the law, can you break it and dishonor Yahweh? No, Paul would say. So in verse 24, for the name of Yahweh is blasphemed among the Gentiles through you, as it is written. And why? Well, because of their behavior. Yahweh is blasphemed, not just because of we misspell his name, but because of our behavior sometimes. We bring his reputation to naught if we're not living according to his commandments. So that was my parenthetical statement. Verse 25, for the circumcision, so that's the Jewish people, for circumcision verily profited, if you keep the law. But if thou be a breaker of the Torah, or the law, thy circumcision is made uncircumcision. So you Jews become, in effect, you become Gentiles, uncircumcised Gentiles. You know, not only in the flesh, but in the heart. So it says here in verse 26, therefore, if the uncircumcision, the Gentiles, in other words, if they keep the righteousness of the law, shall not his being a Gentile be counted for being a Jew? Or it says here, shall not his uncircumcision be counted for circumcision? And shall not uncircumcision, or shall not being a Gentile, which is by nature, if it fulfill the law, judge thee, who by the letter and circumcision do you transgress the law? For he is not a Jew, which is one outwardly, who wears the tzitzis and the beard for the males. And if you just do that only and just keep the Sabbath, you're still not a Jew, Paul says. Verse 28, for he is not a Jew, which is one outwardly, neither is that circumcision, or neither is that Jewish person, which is outward in the flesh, but in other words, not inwardly. But he is a Jew, which is one inwardly. Okay, well, Paul just said what I was trying to explain there. Verse 29, but he is a Jew, which is one inwardly, and circumcision is that of the heart. So being a true Hebrew believer is a matter of the heart, in the spirit and not in the letter. People have a lot of problems with that, trying to say that, I've heard somebody say the other day that, see, all we need is the spirit, we don't need the word, we don't need the letter. Well, that is so absurd. We're going to toss out the word because now we're supposedly filled with the spirit. That is so crazy. I can't believe such a dumb statement. But maybe I said something like that too 30 or 40 years ago before I was filled with the spirit of Yahweh. So I shouldn't come down too hard on my friends, I guess. But he is a Jew, which is one inwardly, and circumcision is that of the heart in the spirit, and not just in the letter. I inserted the word just there to try to make more sense out of this. Whose praise is not of man, but of Yahweh. So then that was chapter 2. Then we're going to go to chapter 7, where it is often misconstrued that Paul is saying that if we have the law, then it causes us to want to break it. But if we don't have a law, then we have no problem. We don't want to break it. And my thought about that is that, we do have the law that it tells me not to steal. It says, Stephen, do not steal. You don't do that anymore. You never steal. Now, because of that commandment, ladies and gentlemen, does that cause me to want to steal? Do I ever turn around and say, wow, the commandment keeps telling me to not steal. So I struggle. I want to go out and steal now because it's telling me not to do it. I want to do the opposite. Have I ever done that? Have you ever done that and said, well, the commandment tells me this, so I'm going to try to do the opposite? Well, not about stealing, not about idolatry necessarily or adultery. Yeah. The commandment defines what is right and wrong. What is the standard here? The standard is the commandment, the ordinance of Yahweh. Yes, his mighty fine ways. In Romans chapter 7, then, it's a matter of heart from the entire book. But let's go to verse 16 here. Romans 7, 16. If then I do that which I would not, I consent unto the law that it is good. And then verse 21. I might skip too much there. So verse 17, now then it is no more I that do it, but sin that dwells in me. For I know that in me, that is in my flesh, dwells no good thing, but to will is present with me. But how to perform that which is good I find not. For the good that I would, I do not. So there should be a comma after the word would, W-O-U-L-D. For the good that I would, comma, I do not. For the evil which I would not, and there's a comma there, that I do. Now, if I do that I would not, it is no more I that do it, but sin dwells in me. I find then a law that when I would do good, evil is present with me. Notice, I delight in the law of Yahweh, after the inward man, not after this outward man of flesh who's just doing things out of root obedience, doing things by the letter only and not by the spirit. No. But it's by the one who has the law written in their hearts and minds, and, you know, they just naturally, automatically want to love Yahweh, want to obey him. Don't want to over-obey him and go out of bounds there, out of the Torah, and make up things like the Jews did with their Talmud, with the oral tradition. No, not the Talmud, but the Torah. There's a big difference. Not by the Mishnah, not by the Jewish Mishnah and all its laws and their feasts, but by Yahweh's law and his feasts. Oh, what a wonderful... wait a minute. I can't get into that yet. Verse 23, Paul says, I see another law in my members, warring against the law of my mind and bringing me into captivity to the law of sin, which is in my members. O wretched man that I am, who shall deliver me from the body of this death? Who would deliver you from the law of sin and death, from the certificate of indebtedness that was against you, that Yahweh himself, or Yahweh's son himself, when he died on the tree at Calvary, that he took away. He did away with that law of sin of indebtedness, the law of sin and death and sacrifices for sin, didn't he? So verse 25 is the answer. I thank Yahweh through the Messiah, our master. So here he's having another Thanksgiving day. I thank Yahweh through Messiah, our master. So then with the mind, I myself serve the law of Yahweh. But with the flesh, I serve the law of sin. Yeah, the law of sin and death, that's what he served until Yahweh came into his life. And sometimes when we were back there in Babylon and their form of worship, that we kept the pagan feast days, such as Christ Mass, the Mass of Christ. And what was the miracle of Christmas? Well, the miracle, one of the miracles was, and their version of it would be that the shepherds were out in the middle of winter in December with no thermal underwear on, no battery-operated socks, and they were freezing to death, and so were their flocks. How could they be out there in 2 feet of snow and near 0 degrees at times? Sometimes it's 32 degrees or so in Jerusalem, in Israel. But how could the shepherds be out there watching their flocks by night in December. No, it wasn't December that the Messiah was born. I'm referring, of course, to the account of the Messiah's birth in Luke 2. But if you cut out, concerning Christmas, if you cut out all the giving away of gifts, actually reciprocating, by my giving you a gift, then you have to give me one of equal value, pretty much, then how much would be left of the holiday if we cut all that out of there? What if only it was just a church service, fellowship, and eating? What would be left of the holiday? Oh, you'd destroy it if we could only have a church service, eat, and hear some preaching and have fellowship. That sounds more like one of those terrible Jewish feast days, like the Feast of Tabernacles, where we dwell out in booths, tents, and rented structures and meeting halls and have great food out there. Oh, what a wonderful 8 days that is. What terrible Jewish bondage that is by hearing Yahweh's word. Oh, I exaggerate, don't I? I'm using hyperbole there. Eating and being rather negative about it, but eating and hearing great messages and sharing with one another the word, is that bondage? Well, some would say it is. So, well, the only constant is change, they say. Verse 17, James 1:17, every good gift and every perfect gift is from above and comes down from the Father of lights, with whom is no variableness, neither shadow of turning. It also says that in Malachi in chapter 3, verse 6. Of his own will he begat us with the word of truth, that we should be a kind of first fruits of his creatures. The word first fruits there reminds us a lot of Shavuot, the feast of first fruits. It's in summer when the crops are ripe, and they're ripe as well. And let's see, so the only constant is change. No, the only constant is Yahweh's word, his standard. He never changes. And regarding the clean and unclean, should we abstain from unclean animals whom he calls abominable? And we shall ask Yahweh to bless the abominable beast that was even called an unclean animal way back before the Torah was given to us by Moses. Or through Moses, I mean the Torah was given to us by Yahweh, through Moses. But shall we continue to abstain from unclean foods? Or shall we come up with a new mindset? Here we are walking with long hair, long hair and sandals and sunglasses coming out of Berkeley in California, that is, and thinking that we know it all, and then we step out and become a Christian. And the first day we pick up the book of Galatians and say, ah, the law has been done away with. I can eat, I can do anything I want. Yahweh never changes, though, however. He is the Word, it says in John chapter 1. In the beginning was the Word was with Yahweh, and the Word is Yahweh, or the Word was. You could change that word was to is, it could mean either way, if you look up that Greek in the Greek concordance. Strong's Greek concordance. So Yahweh never changes. But let's look at a few of these scriptures that seem to indicate. So we read in James chapter 1, verse 17, that Yahweh never changes. And Malachi 3, 6, that he never changes. But in Acts somewhere, there's about Peter's vision. But what was the purpose of that vision? Did Peter ever have a midnight snack? Now, I'm really bouncing around here on different doctrines. We went from Christmas to the idea of the unclean animals can be eaten, like a happy family. We went to the Chinese restaurant, and a woman that I was trying to befriend, and I told her that it was an abomination to eat unclean animals. She's supposed to be a believer. She called herself some kind of a believer, but she ordered the happy family, and it was nothing but seafood. And the next day, and the day after that, she had these headaches, and she was angry and saying bad things that I can't repeat right now, which I probably said when I was trying to start that gas-operated lawnmower. Good thing I changed to electric. But, that was a miracle, too. But Yahweh never... Okay, Acts 15. No, it isn't. Acts 10:28 was the purpose here. talking about Peter's dream, his midnight snack. Did he ever eat anything? And he said unto them, you know that how it is an unlawful thing for a man that is a Jew to keep company or to come unto one of another nation. So in other words, to brush shoulders with a stranger, unless they were grafted in, you know, and they became Hebraic, if you want to refer back to the first place I mentioned back there in the Old Testament, but unto one of another nation. But Yahweh has showed me through this dream, in other words, through the dream, he showed me that I should not call any man a beast, to call him common or unclean. Therefore, I came unto you without gainsaying. As soon as I was sent for, I asked therefore for, let's see here. And we're going to go to verse 34 to 36. So to get the, you know, the heaviest part of this chapter. Then Peter opened his mouth and said, of a truth, I perceive that Yahweh is no respecter of persons. And we're not talking in the dental lab there that he opened his mouth, but he said, of a truth, I perceive that Yahweh is no respecter of persons. But in every nation he has feared him, every nation that he has feared, and worketh righteousness, is accepted with him. This person is accepted. Let me see. But in every nation, he that feareth him and worketh righteousness is accepted with him. And the word which Yahweh sent unto the children of Israel, preaching peace by Yahusha Messiah, he is master of all. And let's see, what else can we run to another? Yeah, so let's go down to verse 43 through the end then. 10:43 of Masa, Acts. To him give all the prophets witness that through his name, whosoever believeth in him or on him, that's legitimate, in him or on him, shall receive remission of sins. While Peter yet spake these words, the Ruach HaKadosh, the separated spirit, the Ruach, fell on all them that heard the word. And they of the circumcision, that's the Jewish sects there, the circumcision which believed, were astonished, as many as came with Peter, because that on the Gentiles, that is on the strangers, also, or the common people, the strangers, also was poured out the gift of the Ruach HaKadosh. Now what was the gift of the Ruach HaKadosh? For, why is it, what's it here for? For they heard them speak with tongues and magnify Yahweh. And then Peter answered, can any man forbid water that these should not be baptized or immersed, which have received the Ruach HaKadosh as well as we? What's that word for immersion? It's, no it isn't, it's not that. Oh well, now I have a mind block. I'll think of it in a moment. Tubal, or, no, it's not that one. It's not the mikveh one. That means to pool, but it's tubal is one of the words there. And he commanded them to be immersed, or tubal, in the name of Yahweh, the master. Then prayed they him to tarry certain days, to stick around a few days there. And this really didn't have to do with the clean and unclean. It had to do with fellowshipping with believers, those who fear Yahweh and work righteousness. There, verse 35, that was the purpose of Peter's dream, not to cleanse and make all kinds of meat acceptable to everybody. No, that stuff will give you a headache. It might kill you. There might be trichinosis in that pork. Well, they say chicken's bad for you too sometimes, but yes, that's true. But chicken is not forbidden in the Word. We need to eat more of kosher meats, though. We don't want to just pick anything out of the market that's diseased or not properly grown, but not diseased, and not properly bled, B-L-E-D. Acts 15:20 is the next reference here. But that we write unto them that they abstain from pollutions of idols, and from fornication, and from things strangled, and from blood. Well, that's only four things there, isn't it? So, does he mean that all the other commandments that they don't have to observe? No, of course not. They can't take Yahweh's name in vain. They can't practice idolatry. They can't have any other Elohim before them. So, So what these things were emphasized here in Acts 15 and Acts 10 and Acts, as we shall see, coming to Acts 21. So Acts 15, 21. For Moses of old time has in every city that them that preach Moses being read in the synagogues, where? Every Sabbath day, not every first day of the week, not every Babylonian Sunday, but every Sabbath day. 28, for it seemed good to the Ruach HaKadosh and to us to lay upon you no greater burden than these necessary things. What are these necessary things, these things to be stressed? That you abstain from meats offered to idols and from blood. So we were just talking about to bleed that animal, that chicken, that steer, but not a hog. That's not cleansed by Yahweh's word. A hog is not. There's no bacon, no seafood. And so from blood, that is the blood of even clean animals, you're not even to ingest. You're not to eat that. And from things strangled, and from fornication, because strangling would not remove the blood. Strangled, and from fornication. That's all kinds of fornication there. It includes spiritual fornication. It also includes adultery. From fornication, from which, if we keep ourselves, you shall do well. Farewell. Look up also these others about the clean and unclean. 1 Corinthians 10:28. And Isaiah 65, verse 4, which is prophetic. It's looking into the future. Isaiah 65, verse 4, and 66, verse 3 of Isaiah, or Yeshayahu. Now, also Acts 21, 24. Masa 21, 24. Them take and purify themselves with them, the Nazarites, and be at charges with them, that they may shave their heads, and all may know that those things whereof they were informed concerning thee are nothing, but that thou thyself also walkest orderly and keepest the law. I thought Chuck Swindoll once told us to break the law, to forget it, that it was under the blood. It was after Calvary, we're not supposed to keep the law anymore, but... Well, now he's changed his tune finally somewhat. At least he's changing colors there, like a chameleon. So, that they walk orderly and keep the law, as touching the Gentiles, the strangers, in other words, which believe, we have written and concluded that they observe no such thing except, or save only, that they keep themselves from things offered to idols. So, food offered to idols, I guess the old ancient Chinese religions and some of those Oriental religions did a lot of that, offering up of food to their idol, to their Elohim. So they keep themselves from doing that and from ingesting blood, whether it be taken intravenously or through the mouth, and from strangled animals and from fornication. So that was in Acts chapter 21. Verses 24 and 25, if you want to go home and look that up, if you're driving along in the car or you're out working in the fields today, slaving away at some crop or another. And I thank you for joining me here on YahvehYahweh.name. I am Stephan Yah. My email address is Stephan Yah, Stephan Yah with a Zadi or with a T, T-S-E-P-H-A-N-Y-A-H. That's my name. And then... at YahvehYahweh.name. Stephan Yah at YahvehYahweh.name. And this part then about tzitzis was found in Matthew chapter 9, verse 20, that the woman who needed to be touched and healed reached out and touched the hem of his garment, the tzitziot. And also in Deuteronomy 22, along with many other laws regarding things such as sexual immorality in Deuteronomy 22. But bunched all together in that same chapter is the reference and the commandment that we are supposed to wear the tzitzit, and the men are supposed to have beards. So Deuteronomy 22:5 says that a woman is not to wear men's wear. Women should not wear men's wear. And talks about quite a number of subjects here. Verse 11, thou shalt not wear a garment of diverse sorts of woolen and linen together. Verse 12, thou shalt make thee fringes or a ribbon of blue. Zephaniah 1:8, thou shalt make thee fringes upon the four quarters of thy vesture, wherewith thou coverest thyself. So the four quarters of your pants there for gentlemen and for ladies. And that if any man take a wife and go in unto her, that is to have intimate relations for the marriage, the wedding night, and he hate her. Now, wait a minute now. Yeah, that's not the discriminating factor, that he either likes or he dislikes her. And they give occasions of speech against her and bring up an evil name upon her and say, I took this woman, and when I came to her, I found her not a maid. You know, she was not a virgin. But then in the event here in the chapter, in this scenario, it turns out that she was a virgin. The guy was falsely accusing her of being a slut, being a woman who slept around with and sowed wild oats with just about anybody out there, with Joe Cool. And it just wasn't the case at all. So that was the classic first place of mention about the idea of fornication. And some of the words that we should not use, there are 50 words. Let's go to that word, that list, rather, quickly. So Adonai is a corrupted word. We've had proof of that. You look in the book, Come Out of Her, My People, or The Final Reformation. It's the same book, just two different titles, by C.J. Coster, K-O-S-T-E-R, Mr. Coster there. And you know, I don't care what his lifestyle was at the time that he wrote the book or later or what. All I care about is the truth, and he used over 300 references, documentations to prove these things are true that we're saying here, that Adonai is a corrupted word. Was taken from the vowel points of YHVH and substituted and turned into LORD. Amen is another one, and there's references not in C.J. Coster, but in other places. Holy Spirit, we use this spirit of separation instead of saying Holy Spirit, for holy is, I don't actually have what it means. You'd have to read the book. And I would have to get it out and read it for you, which I don't have it here at my side, but I can do that for you if you want to know where these words originated. Mr. Coster probably won't mind if I use some of his materials. He put a lot of work into this. So holy, we use Kodesh, which is Hebrew, or if it's referring to the Father himself, then we use, or Messiah, we use Kadosh. Otherwise, we could say the spirit of separation, or pure. Like Holy Bible, we would say pure, well, we would say pure scripture, actually. Someone once said that basic instructions before leaving earth is P-I-B-L-E. In fact, the word Bible is also from Biblos, a corruption there. So instead of that, we use scriptures or the sweet spices and the law word or the word instead of B-I-B-L-E. That's the word. And you know, I hope you don't mind, we put a little bit of music in the background here. And instead of Christ, we use Yahosha. Some say that the long form of Yahvahosha, even though that's not found anywhere in Scripture. But Yahvahosha, Yahvah is the Father's name, and Hosha, and there's articles on that on our website. Yahvahosha instead of Christ, or Hamoshiach, or anointed, or husband. See the book of Hosea, should be chapter 6. Messiah, or Moshiach, or the Supreme One, or Sater in Hebrew, or Savior, or Creator. We know that He created the worlds. Colossians 1, Hebrews 1, Genesis 1. Instead of church, we use assembly, convocation, congregation. Instead of charity, we use favor, gratitude, love. Instead of cross, we use the tree or the stake. Instead of crucify, impaled or suffered. Instead of Babylonian days of the week, such as Sunday, you get it? We use first day of the week, second day, third day. Except if we're dealing with somebody who doesn't understand those terms, then we'll go ahead and use their terminology, but we really don't want to do that if we can help it. Sometimes we have to, because it just doesn't make sense to somebody to say, well, I'll meet you on the fourth day of the week. And then they'll say, oh, is that Tuesday or something? No, it's the W day. It's the fourth day of the week is the W day. And some people understand that much. Deity, we use, instead of deity, we use supernatural or mighty one. Instead of divine, we use sublime. Elohim, El is Canaanite, female goddess, in most of the references. But I'm going to have to question that again if I have that still posted on the website, that there's something wrong with the word father, that there isn't as far as I can remember. The word glory there is, though, and instead of that we can use esteem or brilliance, eminence, to exalt, honor, lovely, magnificent, majestic, noble, power, praise, repute, that's a good repute, by the way, splendor, Hebrew word kavod, distinguishable, so beauty, esteem, or dignity. Take your choice of the top ones there. And instead of glorious, just drag those words out, distinguishable. Glorious would be distinguished, exalted, grand, high, lofty, magnificent, majestic, noble, powerful, royal, sublime, splendid, and supreme, wonderful, worship. So wonderful instead of glorious, or exalted, or splendid. Splendid or sublime are good. And for the title G-O-D, we use the proper Yah, Y-A-H-H, or Yahweh, or even Yahusha. The Messiah, God could be referring to Messiah. And it's okay to use God, though, if you're referring to a pagan idol. You can say the gods, the strange gods there, or Elohims. For godly, we use goodly. How about the word holy? Let's use separated or pure. For hallowed, we use separated. For hell, I don't know if there's anything wrong with the word hell, but we could use Gehenna or Tartarus being the deeper, worst place. Sometimes hell just refers to Hades, the grave. Then moving on to those who use Jehovah, like the Jehovah's Witnesses, they're using that with a J. J's only been with us for around 500 years, to the most extent anyway, so we could... So that may be okay to change the Y to a J. Most people know what that is, but I don't know if that's a corruption or not. But we use the Y. Why not use Y, right? The correct way of doing things. For Jesus, we use HaMashiach or Yahusha. Yahusha would be the most correct that I know of, but it's not 100% proven that Yahusha is his name, but although it does come from Joshua. And we also use the Eternal instead of J-E-S-U-S, but Yahusha is the best. Yahusha or Messiah or Moshiach or HaMoshiach. Ha is the, I think. And instead of Lord, we could put in the correct word for that. That if you look in your concordance or your Strong's concordance, look at the Hebrew. And the instead of Lord, it says Yahweh. It says YHVH, reading the Hebrew from right to left. The four letters of the Tetragrammaton are there. And it can be pronounced Yahweh or Yahuwah. Not too much emphasis on the ho there. A lot of people say, well, there's a problem with that word ho, or hova. There's a problem with hova. And we did a study on that. It's up on the right side of our website, main page, on the right side there under the audio files. But you can look that up. You don't need my studies necessarily. What was it again now? I know, I've forgotten. Something about Hova. Yeah, Yehovah, I think, is a corrupt word just by itself. We're striving to be perfect, even as our Father, bless you, our Father is perfect. For luck, we don't use that. I think that's from pretty obvious. That's from fortune, from the devil there, luck. So instead of that, blessing. Master, instead of master, we use maker. Well, actually, I've been using master. And there is supposedly a problem with that word master, M-A-S-T-E-R. For Mary, we use Miriam. For testament, we use covenant. For theos, we use the mighty one. The Greek word in the New Testament, theos, is corrupt. So if we use mighty one, or we could say Yahweh. Instead of Yahweh, we use Yahvah. And that the Catholic Church even uses Yahweh instead of Yahvah. So that would tell me there that there, that might be a clue. So we don't want to sell our soul to Satan and get into spiritual or physical adultery. We don't want to be accused of, by Yahweh, of worshiping Elohim. We want to have our eyes on Him. And let's look at Ephesians 3:16. The whole family in heaven and earth is named in 15. The whole family of heaven and earth is named. Well, the verse before that, for this cause I bow my knees unto the Father of the Master Yahusha, Mashiach. Actually, it says Lord Jesus Christ. So L-O-R-D is equating Messiah with the Father. So I bow my knees to Him, to the Messiah, of whom the whole family in heaven and earth is named. Wow. And also in 4:4 it says, one Lord, one faith, one baptism. So one Yahweh, one faith, one immersion. We bow our knees to Him, of whom the whole family in heaven is named, that He would grant you according to the riches of His esteem to be strengthened with might by His Spirit in the inner man, that HaMashiach may dwell in your hearts by faith, that you, being rooted and grounded in love, are able to comprehend with all saints the breadth, length, depth, and height, and to know the love of Messiah, which passes knowledge, that you might be filled with all the fullness of Yahweh. Wow. In 2 Timothy 4:18, if we're still on the internet, on this podcast, and Yahweh, 4:18, and Yahweh shall deliver me from every evil work, and will preserve me unto His heavenly kingdom, to whom be esteem forever and ever. Hallel Yahweh. Shalom.